Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Jordan Royburn, publisher of The Daily Gold. Jordan, it's always great having you on the show and getting your technical thoughts on the markets as well as your macro thoughts and intermarket analysis. Let's start off, though, with gold, the gold price. It's lost at 1780, little mini support area. It's below 1800. The miners and silver and everything else heading lower. What is your outlook on gold and where do you think support may come in?
Yeah, I'm concerned about gold right now, that in the next month we could see it. I think there's a risk it could dump lower. Obviously, looking at the daily chart, I mean, you noted the 1780 level. I mean, it looks like there is some support around 1750, but given the way that it's been trading, there looks to be, you know, some 1760, there's some support there, but I'm a little worried we could see it plunge below 1750. And then, I mean, there is a little bit of daily support at 1720. But if you look at the weekly chart, if you look at a weekly candle chart, you can see that gold, it has bounced quite a few times this year above 1750. So if we lose that on a weekly basis, you know, if we get a post-Fed negative reaction, it's very possible it could close the week below 1750 and signal breakdown. Then at that point, you're really pointing down to the 1675 area and that strong support. So I think over the coming weeks, that'll be a level to keep in mind. You know, stepping back and looking at a big picture view, obviously 1675 is important. The 40-month moving average, and again, I would tell people, look at a 30 or 40-year chart of gold. Look at a 40-month moving average. You can see it's been an excellent indicator, marking many breakdowns and bottoms and then those types of things. I think that's around 1620. You know, that's moving higher. So depending on how gold holds up over the next month or so, I mean, if it doesn't plunge lower and it just kind of repeats what it's been doing, maybe that'll allow the 40-month moving average to get up to 1640, 1650, 1660. So that, I mean, that's something I'm thinking about. But aside from that level, you also have the 50% retracement, which is around 1565, we can just say 1570 to make it easier. So those are the levels. I will note that the cup and handle pattern, it's still viable if the 50% retracement comes into play. So that would obviously be very negative in the near term if that happens. But, you know, very big picture, it's still part of gold building the handle on the cup and handle pattern.
Well, Jordan, when I hear targets like getting down to the 1720s, I think of that low we just had around 1721, a shorter duration ago, and then before that, that 1675 that was tested three times this year already. If those levels were to break, it would actually break the long-term trend we've had of actually a series of higher lows. If you go back to 2015 in December at 1045 gold, it's had a pattern of higher lows that have developed over the last 6 years. And now, if we were to break those levels, 1721 and 1675, and get down to that 40-month moving average you just discussed of 1620, are you concerned at all that we've actually ended the bull market? Even though that cup and handle pattern is still valid, could we be breaking down into a legitimate bear market at that point in time?
No, I think it's actually the opposite. I think we'd be coming to the end of this correction. And, you know, gold historically has a pattern of false breakouts and false breakdowns. And so looking at a monthly candle chart right now, and I don't see it. Sure, yeah, gold, I mean, you would have some breakdown breaking below that. You know, looking at the monthly, I think the lowest monthly close is around 1700. So sure, I mean, you would have a break below that level. But to me, that, you know, I'm looking at the chart and that doesn't bother me as far as looking at the pattern of higher lows and higher highs. Yeah, that wouldn't concern me. Obviously, I mean, it would be a concern when it happens. But, you know, we've already had a significant correction. There could be more to go in terms of price, but not as much in terms of time. And, you know, one issue is if you look at the net speculative position in gold, you know, that has not really come down as much as you would like. So what you could have is you see gold breaking below 1700, then it goes further lower as these specs panic out of their positions, while at the same time, you know, if the stock market doesn't correct, the odds for a rate hike are going to remain very, very high. And that's kind of what I'm envisioning over the coming months is, you know, potential breakdown in gold. You get these spec traders cleaned out. So sentiment starts to look better. You know, gold comes down to the 40 month or the, you know, 1600 or the 50% retracement in that area. It's just the combination of really strong support, you know, really bad sentiment. And then you get the catalyst of the Fed hiking rates. That's the setup for a really strong rebound. So that's kind of how I see it over the coming months. But I'm not that, you know, gold breaking below 1675, that doesn't bother me that much. I don't see that as like a massive breakdown.
Okay. Well, appreciate you sharing your perspective on it. And then you mentioned the Fed rate hike there, and you mentioned that this may take some time to play out, you know, that corrective move. Do you think those kind of link up then, that we would see the corrective move going into pre-rate hike cycle, and then when we got to the rate hikes, that it would have already bottomed at that point in time, gold and silver?
Yeah, I've been less keen on the timing of, you know, when gold bottoms around these hikes. So it's really difficult to say. Historically, you can get a bottom a couple months before, right when the hike actually happens, or even a month or two after. So that's the window I would look at. I mean, if we see gold breaking 1675, and then you get, you know, a little bit of a continuation to the downside, the spec traders getting cleaned out, at that point, I would, you know, if we see the scenario that I'm talking about, you know, if we get really close, you know, to, if we get a couple months from a rate hike and we see gold down at those levels and sentiment is, you know, already cleaned out, I think that would be the time to really be buying. In that scenario, you don't necessarily have to wait for the Fed to actually do the hike. I mean, it'll become a foregone conclusion at that point. If you see gold breaking below 1700, the stock market is still making new highs, then it just becomes a foregone conclusion.
Well, as far as silver, you had mentioned last week that you felt the rate hiking cycle could actually be more constructive for silver on the backside of that than even for gold. What levels are you watching in silver, and do you still feel that it would kind of somewhat match up with gold's move down and bottoming process, and that they would both fare better after the rate hiking cycle starts?
Yeah, silver is breaking down right now. It does have support around 21, but the real strong support is around 1870. And silver, it does have pretty good rebounds along with gold, but even better for silver in percentage terms. So I, you know, my thinking on silver is if it continues to go lower and it bottoms around 1870, if you look at the average rebound, which is around 40%, you know, that could bring it to the resistance levels are really 25, 26, and 28. Another thing I haven't mentioned, if you look at gold and silver, like they tend to make like a year or 2 year highs, most of the time after these hikes. And so if silver were to make a 2 year high, I mean, it would have to get pretty close to, you know, 28, 29. But circling back, I think the worst case scenario for the rally after the hike, you're probably looking at 25 for silver. This would be like an end of next year target, so call it a 12-month target. So, and obviously that's going to be determined by fundamentals, because if, you know, let's say the Fed hikes, but let's say inflation only goes down a little bit, like it's still at, you know, 4 or 5%, the economy's, you know, doing reasonably well, they're going to have to, you know, inflation, people, it's still a problem for people. And it's not going down, like it's, you know, even remaining higher than I think. That's the type of scenario where the rebound will take silver to 28 and gold to 2100. But, you know, if we see disinflation where, you know, commodity prices, you know, they continue to correct, you know, oil put in its peak and it's not going to make a higher high. And so inflation is coming down at 3 or 4%. The Fed can do baby step hikes. In that scenario, that's probably where the 12-month upside for silver is 25, and for gold, you know, it's around 2,000. So those are just, obviously, you know, we can't predict the future, but these are just how I'm thinking about these scenarios. I think it's really interesting to think about what will happen after the hike, assuming they do the hike in May or June.
Well, Jordan, you brought up inflation there, and when we had talked a couple weeks back, you were thinking that inflation was getting pretty top-heavy is where we're at, but we did just see an even higher CPI reading of 6.8% looking at the month of November from the Consumer Price Index, and we just saw the Producer Price Index come in about 8.5%, so we've still continued to see inflation keep creeping higher. I mean, I understand the general point you're making with disinflation moving into next year, but is there a potential that inflation would still be sticky enough, that real rates would still be big enough, that gold still could get a bid going into next year just based on it staying in that real rate environment? Or do you think the rate of change coming down will keep pressuring precious metals?
I think the rate of change is going to pressure precious metals. I mean, silver, the chart of silver looks really bad. It's just really ugly. You know, it's breaking down, and silver is one of the best indicators for rising inflation and rising inflation expectations. So, I mean, that's giving you an answer right there, along with gold, which, you know, we're worried about gold that it's going to start breaking lower. It's going to follow silver and the mining stocks, which are leading to the downside. You know, I think industrial metals, I think they've already peaked. So I mean, it's possible that the statistics could defy me for another couple months, but, you know, the market usually looks like 6 to 9 months ahead, and it's giving a pretty powerful message that inflation is going to come down. I just don't see any way around that. Yeah.
Well, and you've mentioned the point before that really gold is the prime mover. And so since gold has been correcting for 17 months now, you think that other commodities like the base metals, like your copper and your nickels, zincs and leads, etc., those could actually still go through a corrective move following gold's lead. Is that still the way you're seeing it in the commodities, especially around the base metals?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at like a monthly chart of copper, if you look at a monthly chart of industrial metals price index, they've rallied up to 10, 11 year resistance. And I think they hit it like earlier this year. They haven't been able to break through in recent months. I'm seeing some bearish candles on the monthly charts. So the dollar has been strong. So I just see it as very, very unlikely that they're going to break this 10 or 11 year resistance right now. But with that said, stepping back, I mean, the commodity charts, you know, the base metals, copper, gold, if you look at an equal weighted commodity index, I mean, these things are trading around 10, 11 year resistance. These are super bullish charts of the big picture. The next move in gold and commodities is going to be really massive to the upside. So I'm not a commodity bear by any means, but that next move, I'm just saying it's not going to happen next year. Maybe it's, you know, 2 or 3 years away. I don't know. I'm just saying based on what I'm seeing, I think next year is going to be a year of disinflation. But, you know, going back to my last answer, maybe inflation and commodity prices will, you know, maybe they'll correct, but they'll correct bullishly and trade around these highs. So it's a correction in terms of time more so than price. That's also a scenario. So, I mean, that's one scenario for next year to keep in mind. But I just think inflation, commodity prices, and that they've peaked for the time being.
Yeah, that's a fair statement, where you may see either correction through price or time for a while, but then longer term, you still see the longer term macro trend as bullish for the commodity sector. It's just not imminent. It's going to have to take a breather first and let the chart indicators cool off and then have another run at those higher end resistance zones. One other thing just to ask you about, Jordan, before we wrap up, and that is, how will the rate hike cycle affect the general markets? A lot of people think that when the Fed does get to hiking, that could be, as you've pointed out, a bullish trend for the precious metals, but a lot of people are looking at it as a headwind or possibly something that could cause the general markets to correct. Are you seeing it that way when you look at some of your analogs and past periods in history, or how do you see the general markets reacting to these rate hikes when they start?
Well, I think this is really the important question. I know people are debating about, well, you know, there's a lot of people like Peter Schiff saying they're not going to hike, they can't hike, they're never going to hike. I mean, we heard the same thing in 2015. They're able to hike all the way up to 2.5%. So the question is not, are they going to hike? The question is, when are they going to hike and what's going to happen after that? Like, what is going to be the nature of this rate hike cycle? How long is it going to last? I mean, are we going to see more of a disinflation trend when they hike, so the curve, you know, flattens and inverts eventually? Or is inflation going to be high enough where they have to hike to try and stay, you know, reasonably close to inflation, although we know that they'll lag it? So, I mean, that to me is the real interesting, that'll be the real interesting question for next year. I think it's possible. The stock market itself, I mean, it is possible it could have a 15% correction at some point. But if we look at all these historical rate hike cycles, and it's something I've started to do, The stock market, yes, it could correct, but the stock market tends to continue to rise for at least a year or two after they start hiking rates. Now, I mean, every cycle is different, but we're not going to see this thing where they hike once or twice and the whole, you know, the economy is going to go into recession, the stock market is going to go down 40%. I mean, it's just, it's not going to happen. This is just absurd gold buggery when we hear that. It just bothers me. So I'm more focused on, as I was saying, you know, after they do the hike, are we going to have disinflation for a year or two where inflation is coming down, or are inflation expectations going to remain high and the Fed has to hike a little bit more than they want? So, that to me is the real question. I mean, I think generally looking at, I mean, if you look at the last cycle, and, you know, the first hike was in December 2015, but really, you know, they waited a year after that to do the second hike. So the real start of the cycle was really December 2016. And then the market, I think, had that peak in August 2018, you know, and then it, I think it had a 20% correction at that point or something close to it. So, I mean, that was a little over a year and a half, basically, where the hiking started to mess things up for the market and the economy. So if they start hiking next year, you know, May, June, the stock market should probably, I think it would be okay for another 12 months or so. But once you get to the end of 2023, that would probably be the time when, you know, you might start to worry that there's, you know, issues with the economy and the market. And, you know, you can see things, you know, potentially roll over in 24. There'd be a lot of concern about that. So, that I mean, that's one scenario. I'm just, you know, playing with these scenarios in my head. But I do think just focusing on next year, the data is very strong that if the Fed hikes, you're very likely to get a big rebound in precious metals from lower levels than where they are right now, unfortunately. And, you know, the stock market at some point next year, it could have a significant correction. So that's how I see it. Significant correction, but I'm not thinking full-blown bear market or downturn. Although it is possible, if, you know, I'm looking at what some economists are saying, and economists from all stripes, they are worried about the second half of next year, where it could be a point where the economy starts to cool off for various reasons. And then, you know, some of these infrastructure programs, I mean, that money can start to be spent in 23. It's not going to be spent next year. So you're going to get less fiscal support next year. So that's another thing to keep in mind, which could throw a monkey wrench into everything that I've said, which is, you know, if the economy really slows down in the second half of next year to the point where, like, you could get like a technical recession, that could then prompt even more fiscal support where, you know, you get it from, you know, you get it from all, you know, all politicians where they have to, okay, we have to do UBI, we have to start giving people money. You know, if that happens, then of course gold would sniff that out middle to the end of next year, trade to 2100, and then maybe in 23, you know, you get a huge reflation and you get, you know, gold's already breaking out, commodities are breaking out, etc. So I mean, that is another scenario to keep in mind. So I know it's, you know, I'm just guessing here with these scenarios, but this is what I see that could, you know, the possibilities and probabilities as far as markets and the economy next year. And you have to you can't just look at the charts and make these predictions. You have to, you know, look at the technicals, the positioning, the sentiment, in addition to what's going on in the economy and the macro market picture.
Well, Jordan, we'll wrap it up there. And I appreciate you going through all these different scenarios with us. And I'm sure the audience does too, that's listening, because the markets are forward-looking and there's a lot of other people trying to navigate what's going to happen next year. And I like that you have the technical approach paired with the fundamentals, the sentiment, and the intermarket analysis. So we always appreciate getting your thoughts here at the KE Report. And if people like what Jordan has to say and like getting his perspectives, definitely check him out over at the Daily Gold. We'll put a link to that below this interview. And Jordan, we just appreciate you spending a few minutes with us here with our audience.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.